As I said earlier, I have no idea where God's going with this, but we'll just obey Him. I haven't done this in years, to just step out like this. I want to read for you, if you would please, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. I want to read verses 20 through 26. I don't want you to listen to it carefully. If you're not there, just stop and look up here at Pastor and listen. And he, Jesus, said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said, The Christ of God. And he straightly charged them, and he commanded them to tell nobody. He's saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be slain, and then be raised on the third day. And so he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and let him take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my name's sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's and the holy angels. Now, it has been said universally, a cliche that is often used when we think of our suffering, our inconveniences, our burdens, our life's tribulations, are summed up with a colloquialism of, well, that's just my cross to bear. That's just my cross to bear. And when it comes to Christianity, we use the same phrase, yet in a different vernacular. We think of the persecution where God said, Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. You need to drop that down a little bit so it doesn't keep on feeding back on a pop. Hold on, let me move it over here. Bear with me, church. One, two, one, two. All right, that's good. Let's just go with that. Where did I leave it? You want to go tell Ty, please. The devil doesn't want me to preach this message, but I'm going to preach it anyhow. To bear your own cross to the Christian today, in the mind of most Christians, refers to that sense of persecution, that maybe persecution, rejection, that suffering of being called a Christian, the obligation to live as a Christian. And so the Christian measures the weight of the cross based on his or her performance as a child of God. And I think to some extent there's an element of truth there, and that is that to serve Christ, there's a cost. Somebody say amen. I was sitting in my family room this morning, and the Lord just spoke to my heart, and I, to told me to go downstairs and get the New Living Translation. He wanted me to read it, and I read that, and it knocked me upside the head and said, uh-oh, this is not at all what I prepared. So I'm going to give you what the Master prepared instead, and we'll see how that goes. Can you say amen? I want you to listen to the same scripture I just read for you, but I want you to listen to it, and don't go turn it to it on your little iPods and stuff. Just pay attention to Pastor today, okay? And keep your eyes up here. Listen carefully. For I, the Son of Man, must suffer many terrible things. I will be rejected for the leaders and the leaders, priests, and the teachers of religious law. I will be killed, but 3 days later, I will be raised from the dead. I want you to understand something. Jesus is the one that paid the price and went through the pain of Calvary for us. If for any remote reason you might think that your suffering is somehow linked to the cross that you bear, that contradicts the Word of God. Because if your Christianity is measured by your service to Him as pain, then why did He suffer on the cross? Do you understand what I just said? Why did He suffer on the cross? You didn't suffer on the cross. I didn't suffer on the cross. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross. Yet we pick up our cross, the Bible says, and we carry daily. He said, if any of you wants to be my follower, let me ask you a question that all of you will do a resounding, yes, I do. But how many of you want to be the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Lift your hands up. Let me see them. Because I want heaven to see them too. Listen, if any man wants to be my follower, you, say that's me, you must put aside your own selfish ambition. Shoulder your cross daily and follow me. End of subject. You must put away your own selfish ambition. Now pick up your cross and follow me. What is it that we must do to be a follower of Jesus Christ? For you to put away your own selfish ambition and follow Him. You say, well, I get that. I understand that. Do you? I don't think so. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you're going to lose it. Now, what he means by that is you try and hold on to your things, yourself, you'll lose it all. Let me tell you something. Some of you are holding on to things that God has nothing to do with. It's going to cost you your life. Do you understand me? It will cost you your life. You'll know what suffering is then, but you still won't know what the weight of your cross is. How do you benefit if you gain this whole world, but you lose or forfeit your own soul in the process? What good is a fleeting moment of pleasure for the torments of an eternal hell? What good is it to even suffer or to enjoy the pleasures of sin for even a season, but to experience the torments of hell for eternity? If a person is willing to do that, he will forfeit his own soul. God won't send that person to hell. He'll send yourself to hell. How do you benefit if you gain the whole world? Satan's tool chest of pleasures. He wants you to always think as man. He wants you to see as man. He wants you to feel as man. He wants you to experience things as man so that by serving God, it is uncommon. When God tells us, experience God, that's common. That's what He wants for us to experience. Living, loving, and serving Him. So, bear with me. If a person is ashamed of me and my message, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of that person. What does it mean to be ashamed of the message? I'll tell you what it means to be ashamed of the message. To be ashamed of the message is to know the message and not want to live it. Do you understand me? To be ashamed of the message is to know the message and not want to live it. The Bible says, for he who knows not that it is sin, it is not accounted unto him. But for he who knows it is sin, it is accounted unto him. The world tells us ignorance is no exception. God does say ignorance is actually justifiable for being unaccountable. But let me warn you on that statement. For the child of God, ignorance is a choice. And then that choice has predetermined your destiny. He said, if a person is ashamed of me and my message, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of that person. And when I return in my glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels, I assure you that some of you standing here will not even die before you see the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus has assured those who are even there present, you yourself, even now, we're talking 2,000 years ago, are going to see my glory. Now, when I looked at the 10 pages of notes that I had here, I said, well, now, Lord, that's about the only thing left that I had really worked on. And none of what I had, you can even look at my notes, I've got them all blocked out here. And I turned page after page. And I said, well, now, what do I do? What do I do? And that's when the Lord spoke. Tell my children how they measure the weight of the cross that they bear. You see, I said in the beginning, we measure or we perceive the cross we bear. Oh, we can think of our sicknesses. I remember my mom, God bless her, me. I know she's in glory and I thank God for it. She used to tell me that her psoriasis was her cross to bear. Poverty is a cross to bear. It's not a cross. It has nothing to do with what Jesus was saying here. Here's how you measure. Listen to me. Here's how you measure the weight of your cross. And listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. You measure the weight of your cross by virtue of the way you put value on what you have sacrificed. Do you understand me? You don't. So let me explain. You measure the weight of your cross by virtue of the value that you have placed upon those things which you have sacrificed, or that you feel you have sacrificed. If I have to give this up for Christ, the weight gets heavier. If I can't do this that I used to do because of my relationship with Christ, the weight gets heavier. If I no longer seek to find pleasure in the world, but only pleasure in Him, the weight gets heavier. But that's all wrong. That's all wrong. Sounds right, doesn't it? But it's wrong. The reason your cross to serve Christ seems so heavy is because you put so much value on what you have to give up. What is important to you is not important to God. What is important to God is your love and your willingness to love Him regardless of the cost for you. And let me remind you, it is He that paid the price for you. You have not paid one dime for Him. The truth is, the cross that a child of God bears is light. God intended the cross that we bear to be light. He said, listen careful now. It all works in. It's homiletically sound. Come all ye that are heavy laden and burdened. I will give you rest. The cross. The cross. The cross. What you place as a weight in your cross has nothing to do with God's intention for the cross that He has called you to carry. He has called you to carry a cross of light. He has called you to carry a cross of joy, of peace. He has called you to carry a cross that you are willing to proudly and gladly display. The reason your cross is so heavy is because your cross's weight is linked to your foot that is still in the world. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I tell you what, just listen to it. It's even better. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Listen. New Living Translation. Listen now. I know very well how foolish the message of the cross sounds to those who were on the road to destruction. You see, even the church today thinks that the preaching of the cross is trite. It's trivial. It's just, it's baby stuff. It's nothing. We're so hung up on our intellect. We're so hung up on how smart we think we are. He said, the preaching of the cross, the message of the cross, sounds to those who are on the road to destruction. But we who are being saved recognize this message as the very power of God. For the scripture says, so I will destroy human wisdom and discard their most brilliant ideas. Don't come telling me your stupid genius stuff. Don't tell me what you think you know when God already has said this is His word. Don't you rewrite the Bible. Don't you rewrite what God expects for you. But you begin to obey what the word of God says because God is God and you're not. He will destroy the brilliant mind. He will destroy the intellect's mind. It is harder for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle. I mean, it is harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get to heaven, or backwards as I said it. Because man today is filled with himself. He's so full of himself. We are so hung up on what we think we know or what we choose to want to believe. Can you imagine if the church today laid down its face before Almighty God and said, God, whatever you want is good for me. Whatever you want is what I want. Whatever you say do is what I'll do. Whatever you want me to let go of, I'll let go of, because you're the King of glory. You are the great I am. You are God and I am not. But no, the church doesn't want that. Church didn't want that today. Church wants to come and do the religious obligations on Sunday and go home and live like hell on Monday. I gotta watch my time. So where does this leave? Listen to me. God help me. I don't mean to hurt you people. I don't mean to offend you people, but I'm just going to tell you like it is. Some of you people put so much stock in intelligentsia. Some of you people are listening to people that are demonic, flattering words that are empty and devilish. You esteem the wrong people in your life. You put stock in what man lies before you instead of what God has laid out before you. Listen to what Paul wrote here. Where then? So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made them all look foolish and has shown their wisdom to be useless nonsense. I've sat down with some geniuses in my lifetime that are absolutely, if I were not a child of God, I wouldn't be in awe of them. Their perception, their intellect, their ability to create things, their genii is just phenomenal. But God says all of that is nonsense. All of that is nonsense. Listen. Since God in His wisdom saw to it that the world would never find Him through human wisdom, He has used, you ready? He has used the foolish preaching to save all who will believe. You see, I don't frankly care about what's upstairs. I'm not here to impress you with your intellect or to challenge your intellect. In fact, I'll tell you what, it's your biggest obstacle in life. He said, God's way seems foolish to the Jews because they want a sign from heaven to prove that it's true. And it's foolish to the Greeks because they believe only what God agrees with in their own wisdom. So when we preach that Christ
It's crucified. The Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. Have you ever met a real smart man who thinks that you're just absolutely one of those Jesus freaks? That you're just radically wrapped up in some kind of a Jesus move, and that none of what you're saying is really that important, but that what they've got to say is more important? You're losing out on life because you don't get it your way. You're losing out on life and fun and joy because you're giving up all this stuff for some Jesus! Nonsense. He called it nonsense. Stupidity. This foolish plan of God called the gospel is far wiser than the wisest of all human plans put together. And God's weakness is far stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, my dear brothers and sisters, the few of you were wise in the world's eyes and powerful and even wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And then He chose those who are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world and things counted as nothing at all and used them to bring down to nothing that world considers important, so that no one can ever boast in the presence of God. Let me close these verses out for you and listen carefully. God alone made it possible for you to be in Christ Jesus. You didn't do a thing for it. You did nothing for your salvation but choose to accept Him. And when you accepted Him, if you truly accepted Him, then there will be a burning desire inside of you to please Him instead of yourself. Do you understand me? God made Christ to be our wisdom. He's the one who made us acceptable to God. He made us pure and holy, and He gave Himself to purchase our freedom. Just as the Scripture says, a person who wishes to boast about anything should boast about the Lord. What is your cross? If it's a heavy cross, it's only because you've still got one foot in the world, hanging on to things that are weighing you down. You want to lighten your load? Then sell out to Jesus. I find it to be amazing that when my eyes get upon the world, when my eyes get upon sickness, the weight gets heavy. When my eyes get upon worry, stress, or anxiety, the weight gets heavy. Yet at the same time, in the presence of sickness, in the presence of worry and stress and fear, when my eyes get upon Jesus, my burden becomes light. Fear no longer becomes a weight. Stress no longer rules on my shoulders. For my cross has been made light. Do you understand me? You may think that what you're doing, you may even believe what you're doing is religious, and it may be. but it's not necessarily right. If you're really serving Christ, you'll be filled with joy unspeakable and filled with His glory. You'll be able to get up in the morning and feel His presence. Even though you may have the presence of pain, you will find joy in the morning. I started out about a week ago. I left the YMCA on the aquatic aerobics. You know why? Because I was getting nothing out of it. I wasn't challenged. I was with a bunch of senior citizens my age and older. And I was working at their pace. Even when I tried to do more, it was still at their pace. My wife and I entered into a contractor relationship with the gym here in town. And my wife works during the day, but for the past week, I spent an hour every morning in the gym and an hour every night in the gym. And my body will tell you I am spending 2 hours a day in the gym. But through all of what I might feel in my body, in no way does it compare to what I feel in my heart. Do you understand me? There may be pain present in my body. Oh, but in my heart, there is a melody. There is a song. There is a joy. It has nothing to do with working out. It has to do with relationship. To know Him and become acquainted with Him in His suffering does not mean that you suffer with Him, but that you have been raised with Him. That in His suffering, your load has been made lighter. Bow your heads, please. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, that in these limited moments of time that have been given to us by man this morning, we have been obedient and respectful. But I feel, Lord, that I have barely touched the surface of all that needs to be said. But you know, Lord, the hearts, you know what needs to be understood. You know what words that have been spoken are significant to those that are here. Help, Lord, each and every one of us to sell out to you, to pick up our cross daily, not because of what we've had to give up, but because of what you have given to us, a light load, a very light load, so that we may be an inspiration and a joy and encouragement to a lost and dying and burdensome world. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You are dismissed.